This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
This morning we're continuing our series on Acts by looking at Acts 3 verses 1 to 10. So if you've got a device or a Bible with you, you might want to get your finger in the right page. This is a story about the Apostle Peter healing a lame man. Acts is a book about the stories of the early church. In this story, Peter shows us what it looks like to live a spirit-filled life and to play our part in bringing God's healing power to those around us. The title for my talk this morning is Stop, Look, Listen, Act. Those of you who are my age, or maybe a bit younger, might remember road safety training, which was stop, look, listen, and I think they then included a think. I'm getting a few nods. I'm not planning to do any road safety training this morning, but I do think the words stop, look, listen, act give us a helpful framework for being ready to be used by God in our normal everyday lives. The miracle of healing the lame man is the first miracle recorded after the resurrection of Jesus. It's an inspiring story. Before we read our passage, well, Rob's going to read it. Thank you, Rob. Let me ask you a question. How is your faith level these days? If you had to pick a number from 0 to 10, where would you put yourself? No. I can see the brains whirring. Perhaps you'd say you're a naught. You're not a follower of Jesus, and you're here because a friend brought you. You're just here and you're checking things out. Perhaps you'd say you're a 9 or a 10. You feel full of faith. You're on fire for Jesus. You're feeling used by him, and you're living the life. Perhaps you'd say you're a 2. You're struggling in your faith these days, if you're honest, and you feel like you're clinging on. Maybe you'd say you're a 6. You're comfortable in your faith. You sense there's more for you, but you feel you're comfortable and a little bit stuck, maybe. If I had to say where I am on a scale of 0 to 10, I couldn't give you a simple answer. I find myself on a sliding scale as far as my faith goes. I'm a 9 or 10 in some areas of my life, and then maybe a 1 or 2 in others. I can also be a 9 or 10 when it comes to praying for healing, or a 1 or 2, depending on the day. A couple of Sundays ago, I found myself in the cupboard. There's a cupboard behind there where we store loads of stuff. And I found myself praying for somebody, cancer be gone in the name of Jesus. On that day, I was a 9 or 10. Then on a different day that week, I was out and about near where I live, and I saw my big issue seller friend, who I chat to now and again. I've built up a relationship with her over quite a number of years. I've prayed for her in the past. I've given her a Bible in her mother tongue, which is not English. Having a little chat, she says she's got a pain, and I completely bottle it. I don't offer to pray. So on that day, I'm a 1 or 2. I don't think I'm the only one who experiences my faith levels in this way. And I'd love to hear your stories, more the bottling it ones, to be honest. If you've got them, come and chat to me afterwards. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at what we can learn from Peter about being interruptible and being willing to step out with courage and faith as the Holy Spirit leads us in our everyday lives, and how we can stop, look, listen, act. Rob, would you come and read our passage for us? It's on.
So this is Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Thanks, Rob. Wow. Before we study Peter a bit more, can you imagine what that experience was like for the layman? The passage tells us that he was lame from birth and that he needed people to carry him every day to the temple gate. He would have been a familiar sight to the people who visited the temple on a daily basis. Instead of receiving money that day, what he was asking for, he received healing by the power of God through Peter. The fact that this healing took place near the entrance to the temple, where there was lots of to-ing and fro-ing, meant that what Peter did was seen and validated by many people that day. If you read on from this passage, you'll discover that the miracle Peter did gave him an opportunity to preach about Jesus to those who were around and who witnessed it or just heard about it. Through that miracle and his preaching, the number of believers grew to 5,000 that day. The number was around 3,000, we read in Acts 2, and now it's 5,000 in Acts 3. I can't help but wonder whether this lame man saw Jesus or had any interactions with him. Whether he did or didn't, this man was healed by the power of God working through Peter, an ordinary fisherman, after Jesus had been crucified and resurrected. If you read the Gospels, you'll read that Jesus was interruptible. He frequently stopped at random times and did something unpredictable. As Peter and John lived alongside and learned from Jesus, they must have grasped that they too needed to be open to interruptions. Peter and John are on their way to a time of prayer in the temple when the man asked them for money. Although they were headed somewhere, they must have sensed the nudge of the Holy Spirit to pay attention to this man. Peter and John could have been thinking, "We're on our way to a prayer meeting. We haven't got time to give someone money or even to pray for them. We'll do it later on our way out." Peter and John didn't think that, though. They were in tune with the Holy Spirit. They knew interruptions could be a God thing, and so they stop and pay attention to this man. We can practice doing this too. We can stop and pay attention when an interruption or a disruption comes our way. I have to confess that I'm sometimes too in the task zone with what I'm doing to stop and pay attention to the interruptions and disruptions in my life. I can be too focused to stop and consider that God might want to use me to bring something of his kingdom to the person interrupting or disrupting me. Since I started writing this talk, I've become more intentional with the inevitable disruptions of life that come my way. I'm leaning in to stop, look, listen, act. I've paid more attention to the numerous delivery drivers who interrupt me as I work from home. I felt nudged to help them out by taking deliveries for my neighbours and going the extra mile if I can, being more patient. My husband hurt his back yesterday, and this morning I got to pray for him. I'm willing. He wasn't healed, but I'm willing to pray for healing. We read in our passage that Peter and John stop and then look at the man intently. The man must have been encouraged when Peter and John stopped in their tracks and looked at him, giving him their full attention. Again, we can do this. We can stop. We can look at the person who interrupts us. Most people want to ignore beggars and are careful not to make eye contact with them. Often beggars don't want to look at those passing by either. What does Peter see in this beggar's eyes? Did he see hope? Faith? Did he see desperation? When we look into the eyes of those around us, we learn so much. Sometimes people don't want to look at us at all. At other times we see pain, sadness, tiredness, despair, frustration, joy, excitement, faith, hope. Our eyes are described as the mirror for the soul for a reason. Did the man have hope or faith in his eyes? And this increased Peter's own faith to boldly pray as he did. Or did he have such desperation in his eyes that Peter was moved by compassion to speak and pray boldly in the way he did? We don't need to know which it was. What we do know is that a miraculous healing occurred and a life was transformed that day by God's power. When we find ourselves being interrupted and we choose to stop and look, the next thing we need to do is listen to the Holy Spirit's direction about what to do. The direction or nudge we receive in those moments will be different every time, depending on the interruption that's happened. These nudges often come to me as intuition. I just kind of know what I need to do, and I know what I think Jesus would want me to do. Peter knew the authority he'd been given by Jesus to carry out the works of the kingdom, to heal the sick, cast out demons, free the oppressed, set the captives free, preach the good news of Jesus. We read, "So Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God." This man went from being lame his whole life to standing, walking and jumping. He asked for money, but received healing. Healing that he'd probably never dreamed of. Peter was interruptible. He was willing to stop, look, listen, and act with the authority he'd been given. We can do the same in our everyday lives. We have the same authority that Peter had today here in Leeds. We can heal the sick, cast out demons, break the chains of the oppressed, preach and share the good news about Jesus, just like Peter did. Did you notice that this healing wasn't at a special healing meeting or a prayer meeting? or even when the believers were gathered together. This was when Peter was on his way somewhere. Our theme for this year is kingdom, power, and glory. In this story, we see God's kingdom being extended as this lame man is made whole. We see the power of God moving through Peter to perform this miracle. We see God getting the glory as the man praises him with an overflowing, thankful heart. I long to see God's kingdom in all its fullness here on earth. No more sickness, no more dying, no more pain, no more injustice. This fullness isn't our reality yet, but we do get to experience something of the kingdom of heaven here on earth now. While we wait and long for the fullness of the kingdom of God, we can keep persevering in doing the stuff of the kingdom in the name of Jesus until we die or until Jesus returns. Apparently, John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard movement, prayed consistently for healing for people at his church for 9 or 10 months before he saw any miracles. Then things changed when he went to pray for a woman who was sick. He had no faith at all for her healing. He was just praying out of obedience. As soon as he'd finished praying, he turned around to the woman's husband, ready to explain why sometimes people don't get healed. To his amazement, the husband was looking amazed, and the woman was getting out of bed absolutely fine. This healing was a catalyst for the Vineyard movement. There probably weren't many Vineyard churches at that point, I'm not sure, maybe just this one. There are now more than 2,500 Vineyard churches in 95 countries, with new churches starting up all the time. John Wimber is reported to have said, "I'd rather lay hands on 100 people and have only one healed than to lay hands on nobody and have nobody healed." John didn't give up practicing his faith and praying for healing, even though he didn't see what he longed to see for nearly a year, 9 or 10 months, it's a long time. I find his faithful obedience inspiring and challenging. In my own life, there's nothing like seeing a life transformed when I pray for someone. I haven't seen a lame man healed yet, but I know I've been used by God to bring his healing power to people. I still long to see more, though. I don't share that God has used me to blow my own trumpet, but simply to share the joy I feel when I see a life changed by the power of God. This must have been the feeling Peter had when he was used by God to heal the lame man. Every time we pray for someone, we get to be part of what God is doing in their life. God is always doing something when we pray for someone, even if it's not apparent to them or us at the time. As I come into land, let's do a quick recap. What we see in this passage is that Peter and John were interruptible, ready to be used by God and led by the Holy Spirit at any time in their lives. Peter shows us how we can stop, look, listen, and act when we get interrupted. This week, or today as you leave this building, why not stop and pay attention when a disruption next comes your way? Look at and pay attention to the person who interrupted you. Listen to the Spirit's direction or nudge about what to do next. Act with the authority you've been given by Jesus. Peter teaches us to look for and pay attention for those moments when God might want to interrupt our schedules and plans and use us in a new way in our daily life. Let's lean into interruption and disruption and see what God might do through us. Dave and Alison, would you like to join me? When I was preparing this talk, I sensed that God might want to speak to two different groups of people. I felt there might be people here who are ready. You're ready to have your plans interrupted and you want to step out in faith boldly, like Peter. And I also sense there might be people who feel like the lame man. You feel a bit stuck. Your hope is low. And I think God wants to minister to you as well. So people who you want to be more like Peter, you're ready to have your plans interrupted. You want to be praying for healing. You want to be stepping out boldly more than you are. And people who feel like the lame man, you feel stuck, you feel a bit hopeless, you don't see what could be different. If that's you, can you be brave and stand? If you put yourself in either of those categories. If we stand up, it's just a way of sort of saying to God, yeah, that's me. I want to, like, Lord, that's me. I want to receive what you've got for me this morning. It's nothing like magical or super spiritual. It's just like a way of saying, Lord, I'm in. Great. Don't miss out if that's you and you're hesitating. So Holy Spirit, come. You might want to put your hands out if you're standing, just to sort of look like you're receiving, as God's going to give you a gift. Holy Spirit, come. Come in your power. Come and strengthen each one of these people standing. Embolden them if they're standing because they want courage to do the stuff. And would you break their hopelessness and their feeling stuckness, if that's why they're standing? Thank you, Lord, for your power. Come, Holy Spirit.